The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, November 13th, 2025. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Red Kettles Changing Lives, Salvation Army Sets Ambitious $1 Million Goal to Meet Tough Times. By Matus Janik. Bloomington. The Salvation Army kicked off its annual Red Kettle campaign on Wednesday in hopes of raising a little over $1 million to support its work helping people in need in McLean County. We thank you for your support and all the supporters and volunteers. Your dedication throughout the year helps us continue services to those in need in McLean County, said Major Dan Leischer at the Salvation Army of Bloomington, 611 West Washington Street. The goal this year is $1,009,857 to help meet the increasing needs of the almost 14,000 people the local organization serves annually. Deborah Cole, Director of Development, said, "There is an increasing number of people in the community this year who are being affected by the financial pressures of inflation, food insecurity, unstable housing, and personal crises. The need in our community has grown dramatically," Cole said. "More families than ever are turning to us for help, and reaching this ambitious goal is not just a number, but it's about changing lives." The tradition of the Red Kettle campaign first started in San Francisco in 1891 with Salvation Army Captain Joseph McPhee, who wanted to provide a Christmas dinner to those struggling in the area. He set up a big pot at a ferry landing where passengers could throw in spare change. Since then, the Red Kettle campaign has expanded across the country, and locally, there are now 18 kettle locations in Bloomington Normal that rely on nearly 4,000 hours of volunteer support to make the campaign goal a reality. Along with the ever-growing needs, the Salvation Army is getting creative with a new special event planned for Black Friday on November 28th, where every $20 bill donated will be matched by a donation from American Pest Control. Donor Relations Director Angie Bouban said this season's goal is ambitious and probably the biggest one she has seen in her 12 years with the Salvation Army, but the need is ever growing. "I know you guys are here because you support us and you love us and you've given to us, but we're asking you to find it in your heart to give a little extra," Bouban said. Sergeant Keel Nowers with the Bloomington Police Department said the department is looking to help meet the need with its Pack the Cruiser event from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on November 15th to help support the Salvation Army and Midwest Food Bank. This event comes as pantry shelves are running low due to increased demands and decreased funding through the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP. So BPD will be out at Kroger's at 1502 North Main Street and 2507 East Oakland Avenue, collecting canned fruits, vegetables, soups, meals, peanut butter, and boxed meals. Nowers said they have done the event for the last 2 years and brought in over 1,500 pounds of food in an event in May. "We reached out to our friends at Kroger and we're doing another impromptu one and just at one location. We're going to hit both locations on the same day," Nowers said. "We got to try to get as many people to show up as possible." The organization announced Scott Miller, radio host of The Scott Miller Show on WJBC AM 1230, will be the honorary Christmas campaign chair for the third year in a row. Every third Wednesday, members of the Salvation Army go on Miller's show around 8:45 a.m. to share updates. To donate to the Salvation Army, find Red Kettles across Bloomington Normal at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, Hobby Lobby, Hy-Vee, Eastland Mall, Jewel Osco, Kroger, Sam's Club, Schnucks, Walgreens, and Walmart. Campaign donations can also be made at sabloomington.org or by scanning the QR code at the Red Kettle locations. To sign up as a volunteer and ring bells for the campaign, visit registertoring.com. The next front page story on local government is entitled Livingston County Sees $8 Million Deficit. Wind solar fee losses trim budget to $46.8 million. By Drew Zimmerman. Pontiac. In October, Livingston County staff were projecting a historic $62 million budget for the 2026 fiscal year that would be supported by roughly $13 million in building permit revenue from four renewable energy projects. However, Senate Bill 25, which has passed in both chambers of the Illinois General Assembly and awaits the governor's signature, would cap the amount of permit fees collected for individual wind and solar projects at $75,000. As a result, a revised $46.8 million spending plan with a roughly $8.2 million deficit across all funds will be up for county board approval on Thursday. The original budget proposal included $63.5 million in projected revenues, a 67% increase over the fiscal 2025 budget. The licensing and permit revenue from these four wind and solar projects accounted for the largest portion of revenue for Livingston County in fiscal 2026, followed by fees and charges for services, which accounted for 18.27% of total revenues, and property taxes, which accounted for 17.26%. With this new revenue, staff planned to transfer $12.5 million from its general fund to its building maintenance and asset recovery fund, which was originally a special fund for new construction, but is now reserved for maintenance and unexpected repairs. But after taking into consideration Senate Bill 25, also known as the Clean and Reliable Grid Affordability Act, county building permit fees for commercial wind or solar energy facilities that do not exceed $5,000 per megawatt of nameplate capacity were set at $75,000. The revised budget now projects about $38.5 million in revenue across all funds. The $12.5 million reserved for building maintenance would go back into the general fund. In future planning, we will need to decide if we still want to use this fund for what we intended, building maintenance projects, large unexpected repairs, or scheduled purchases of equipment related to our buildings, according to the draft budget report. If that is the case, we would then need to decide where the funds are coming from that could cover these types of expenses. Capital outlay expenses were also reduced from $13.5 million to about $9.2 million. Despite the loss in revenue, the county is still projecting a 3% increase to its property tax levy and a reduced property tax rate of roughly 88 cents per $100 of assessed value. If a $250,000 home did not change in value, the homeowner could pay about $57 less on Livingston County's portion of their property tax bill. With the help of a few fund transfers, the general fund balance will remain at roughly $17.1 million. However, the total balance across all funds will drop from $61.9 million in the original proposal to about $53.7 million in the amended budget. And here is another front page story entitled, Watznauer to Lead Newsrooms. Bloomington. Kelsey Watznauer, a respected reporter and editor who rose through the ranks of the Pantograph newsroom, has been named executive editor of the Pantograph, the Herald and Review in Decatur, the Journal Gazette and Times Courier in Mattoon, and the Woodford County Journal in Eureka. Watznauer began her career at the Pantograph in 2018 and has become a central figure in its editorial leadership, serving as reporter, city editor, and most recently local news editor, directing daily news coverage. In the latter role, Watznauer also oversaw opinion content for all of the Central Illinois news organizations. A graduate of Murray State University with a bachelor's degree in journalism, Watznauer is a Central Illinois native who grew up in the rural community of Yates City. Her reporting has earned multiple first-place awards from the Illinois Press Association, including in News Reporting 2022 and Localized National Story 2023. I am truly honored to have the opportunity to lead our Central Illinois newsrooms and to continue working to bring valuable stories to our readers, Watznauer said. Our communities are at the core of everything we do, and in my time here, I have been lucky enough to meet so many of the people who make them special. I hope to do them justice as we strive to keep our readers informed about what is happening in the world around them. Watznauer succeeds Allison Petty, who has served as executive editor since 2022. Petty will transition to a more focused role as director of local news for Lee Enterprises, the parent of the Pantograph and more than 70 publications across the U.S. Petty is helping lead the company's central audience team and digital initiatives. She will continue to live in Bloomington and work closely with the newsroom, including serving as a member of the paper's editorial board. Kelsey is a thoughtful, steady, and principled leader with a deep understanding of our community and our mission, Petty said. She's earned the trust of her newsroom and the respect of her peers, and I'm thrilled to see her take on this next challenge. Mark Chase, Senior Director of Local News for Lee Enterprises, who oversees the company's newsrooms in Illinois, Iowa, and other states, described Watznauer as a veteran journalist in our Central Illinois markets. She understands our readers, their communities, and their urgent need for the best and most relevant local news. We look forward to the direction she'll provide our newsrooms in Bloomington, Decatur, and Mattoon, he said. Local news editor Scott Perry will maintain direct oversight of the newsrooms in Decatur and Mattoon. Regional sports editor Justin Kahn will continue to lead sports coverage for all of the Central Illinois news organizations. Roger Miller will serve as managing editor of the Pantograph. A lifelong McLean County resident and Illinois State University alumnus, Miller brings deep knowledge of the community and newsroom operations with decades of experience in reporting, editing, and mentoring journalists. He has held a wide range of roles in the newsroom and will play a central role in shaping coverage and supporting day-to-day leadership. Robin Skaggs, regional features editor for all of the Central Illinois newspapers, will also transition to a new role with her promotion as a senior producer for Lee Enterprises' national newsroom. She will continue to work in the Bloomington newsroom and represent the Pantograph in community settings, including the Goodfellow Fund nonprofit board. But her new focus will shift to supporting local newsrooms across the company's portfolio. Watznauer credited her former editors for helping shape her leadership style. "I'm especially grateful to have been able to learn from the editors I've worked with at the Pantograph, most recently Allison Petty and Chris Coates, and before them Mark Pickering and Julie Girk," she said. "They all have navigated the ever-changing news industry and our evolving community with grace and skill, and I know I would not be the journalist I am today without their guidance and leadership." She said she's grateful to take on the role with a strong team in place across the region. "The journalists in each of our Central Illinois markets impress and inspire me every day," she said. "I look forward to continuing to work with this excellent team to serve our readers." The next local story is entitled, "Man Held on Drug Safety Charges," by Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington. A man from Bloomington has been detained in McLean County on multiple felonies involving drugs and violating an order of protection. Jason C. Green, 47, appeared in custody before Judge Scott Black on Monday afternoon, accused of three separate felony cases. In his first case, the defendant is charged with two Class 4 felonies for violating an order of protection. He was again charged in his second case with one Class 4 felony for violating an order of protection. For his last case, Green faces the following offenses: unlawful possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver, a Class 1 felony; unlawful possession of a controlled substance, a Class 4 felony; and two counts of resisting a peace officer, Class A misdemeanors. Assistant State's Attorney Jeffrey Horv petitioned to detain the defendant on all three cases. However, only the cases concerning the order of protection were heard. Following the judge's decision to detain the defendant on the first two cases, Green stipulated to probable cause for the drug case, for which the state argued he was a flight risk. Both order of protection cases involved the same woman who reported the defendant had contacted her over the course of multiple separate days while she had an active order of protection against him. In arguing for his release, Assistant Public Defender Stuart Wallace said the protected party had initiated contact with the defendant and said the state's case is relatively weak. Horv noted what he said was the defendant's lengthy prior criminal history that includes multiple violent offenses and drug offenses. The judge agreed with the prosecutor and ordered Green be detained. In reviewing the petition for the drug case, Wallace said his client did not find a hearing for detention was necessary, given the detention on the two other felony cases. He stipulated to probable cause. Green is scheduled for an arraignment on this matter at 9 a.m. December 5th. And here is a story entitled, "Author to Launch Book in Streeter." Streeter. Streeter author Julie Strobel Barrichello will celebrate the release of her humorous novel for middle schoolers, The Mountain of Dempsey Molehill, with a book launch party at 2 p.m. Saturday, November 15th at Streeter Public Library. Released November 4th, The book follows a chaotic year in the life of the Molehill family and is narrated by 12-year-old middle child Dempsey Molehill. Barrichello said she drew inspiration for the Molehill family from her parents' childhood stories, which she grew up listening to around the dinner table or family bonfires. Before I wrote the story of the Molehills, I listened to stories about the Strobles, Barrichello said in a news release. A lot of those stories were about the antics my dad, aunts, and uncles got into when they were younger. They inspired some of the Molehills' sibling mischief and shenanigans. The book is written with 5th through 8th graders in mind, but the examination of small-town politics and life in a large, rowdy family will resonate with older readers as well, Barrichello said. The launch party will include a brief talk from Barrichello about the story behind the story, followed by an excerpt reading. Attendees will have a chance to meet the author and buy copies of the book, cash or check only. Barrichello will be available for book signings. Each attendee will receive a raffle ticket for a chance to win a prize basket, which includes a copy of the book, plus activities and crafts related to characters and events in the story. Students who attend will be able to play Molehill Bingo during the presentation, with the winner receiving a copy of the book. Guests also will have a chance to take photos with props at the Make Your Own Character station. For more information about the book, visit www.juliestroberbellbarrichello.com. The next local article is entitled, Drag Racing in Stolen Car Alleged, by Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington. A man from Normal has been detained in the McLean County Jail on a stolen vehicle charge 9 months after he was convicted on similar charges. Amhari Turner, 22, appeared Friday before Judge Amy McFarland for an initial appearance and detention hearing. He is charged with possession of a stolen vehicle, a Class 1 felony, and 3 traffic offenses: driving on a revoked license, reckless driving, and operating an uninsured motor vehicle. Assistant State's Attorney David Fitt filed a petition to detain Turner, arguing no conditions of release could mitigate his risk. According to the probable cause statement, at 10:15 a.m. October 30th, a Bloomington police officer observed the driver of a Chevrolet Camaro drag racing with the driver of a Dodge Challenger south on Veterans Parkway in Bloomington. On November 4th, a Bloomington officer stopped a man who was driving the Camaro. He told police he knew the driver of the Challenger as AJ. Bloomington police called the registered owner of the Challenger, who told police he had sold his 2016 Dodge Challenger to an individual named AJ on October 28th for $46,500. According to the probable cause statement, the buyer, known as AJ, told the seller he sent a payment transfer using a smartphone application. However, the seller never received any payment, and the suspect drove off in the Challenger, the seller told police. The seller also reported a man had dropped off AJ before the transaction, Fitz said. He provided a physical description of that driver. Bloomington police found the unoccupied Challenger car parked at a local nonprofit organization on November 4th. Officers had the vehicle towed, Fitz said. Police obtained surveillance video that showed Turner entering the building with another man who matched the description the seller provided for the man who had dropped off AJ. On November 6th, Bloomington police stopped the defendant's associate as he drove out of a parking lot with Turner in the passenger seat. At that time, a warrant had been issued for Turner's arrest in an unrelated traffic matter, and his license had been revoked, Fitz said. During the traffic stop, Turner told police he was driving the Challenger on October 30th in the area where it was seen drag racing, according to the probable cause statement. The associate told police he had watched Turner wire money to the vehicle owner for the purchase of the Dodge Challenger. Fitt noted Turner is on probation for possession of stolen vehicles in two other McLean County cases. In arguing for his release, Assistant Public Defender Wendy Molson said Turner would abide by any release conditions imposed on him and reiterated her client said he paid for the car lawfully. McFarland found Turner would not be likely to follow court orders, citing his failure to abide by the terms of his probation that state he must not commit any new offenses. The judge granted the state's petition to deny pretrial release, stating he poses a danger to the community by engaging in drag racing. She ordered Turner be detained in the McLean County Jail pending trial. She noted his probationary status in the two stolen vehicle cases, indicating he is repeating behavior he previously was convicted for. Turner was scheduled for an arraignment at 9 a.m. December 5th. And here's an item entitled, Kidnapped Suspect Faces New Charge, by Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington. A Bloomington man who is being held in the McLean County Jail on a kidnapping offense has picked up a new case. Luke N. Greer, 49, is charged with one count of possession of contraband in a penal institution, a weapon, a Class 1 felony. Greer appeared Monday before Judge Scott Black for his initial appearance on this charge. Black ordered Greer be released with the mandatory conditions. He remains in custody since he was charged and detained in July with two counts of kidnapping, one count of being a felon in possession of a weapon, one count of unlawful restraint, and two counts of misdemeanor battery. Greer is scheduled for an arraignment in his new case at 9 a.m. December 5th. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for November 13th. Please stay tuned.